we will receive it, and we will believe it, and we will walk in it, walk it out. It will work in our lives. Hallelujah, for your glory and for our benefit. I thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Hallelujah. And our, you know, our faith is supposed to grow exceedingly. That's right. It's supposed to grow exceedingly. There should be continuous growth. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. Even a growing plant needs watering. Amen. Or else it will wither up and it will die. Not only that, there are things on the outside that can cause disease to come to a plant. And it can be well watered, but because of certain things, it can wither up, or it can struggle. The Apostle Peter told the folks that it is good to be reminded of who you are in Christ. It's good to be reminded of God's promises. It's good to be reminded of his faithfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. And also, you have young plants that come along with the older plants. And they have to have special attention as well. Amen. So what I want to do for a little bit this evening, and you know, this has been on my heart, and I, you know, as a pastor, you know, I have to understand that, you know, I'm a pastor of all the sheep, and in any congregation, you will have sheep on different levels of spiritual growth. Amen. You'll have some that's ready for meat, but you have others that are choke on meat. So we want to make sure that the whole flock get fed. Amen. Having said that, I want to share some things with you. Some of you that's been with me a while, you've heard before. But we do know faith comes by hearing, don't we? And hearing. So I'm going to deal with some basic things this evening. So you have 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," notice that's past tense, "when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." You know, sometimes if you ain't careful, you can kind of get hooked on yourself or get kind of carried away with what you know. Amen. God is not impressed with what we know because he's all-knowing. But he wants us to walk in what we know. Amen. He wants us to walk in what we know, live by what we know. But we are warned about becoming puffed up. You know, I'm this, I'm that. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." Amen. He even said, made the statement that he's least among the apostles, but yet God used him mightily. Didn't he? Amen. So in the body of Christ, humility is very, very important. So he told him, he said, "When I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech and wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." See, what he did, he recognized what they needed. "For I determined," verse 2, "not to know anything among you except," finish that verse, "Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Of course, he went on to say in verse 6, he says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing." Hallelujah. It's important that we have a good foundation. Because our foundation is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. We see this in what Jesus said about the wise man and then the man that wasn't so wise. The man that wasn't wise, he built his house on the sand. He didn't dig a foundation for his house. He probably had a pretty nice house, I suppose. But you know, looking nice on the outside with a weak foundation don't get you nowhere, does it? When the storm comes. But then Jesus said, the wise man, he built a house too, but he dug deep, built his upon the rock. Hallelujah. Spiritually speaking, that rock is Jesus and his word. You hear me? Jesus and his word. And Jesus said the storm came. I believe it was the same storm. The man that was unwise, the storm blew his house away because it had no foundation underneath it. But the house of the one stood strong. So you see, it's important then that we build a strong foundation, solid foundation on the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And that begins with knowing who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Hallelujah. Any message that don't include Jesus is a very weak message. And it won't stand up to the storm. Glory to God. Turn forward in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5, fifth chapter of Hebrews. Now, I taught along these lines 2 or 3 years back. But in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, the writer here let me begin reading verse 12. This is what he says. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. You know, there's a time when you should be able to take it up a step. God hadn't called us to stay same place. There should be a time that I can help somebody else grow in the things of God. There should come a time when I'm able to stand on God's word. Verse 12 again, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, what he was saying is you need somebody to take you back to the basics. You need to go back and reestablish your foundation. You still with me? For by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone. And by the way, let me say this. Teaching is not only just standing before a group. You should teach by the way you live. You should teach by the words that come out of your mouth. You don't need to be praising God on Sunday and cussing on Monday. Amen. shouting on Sunday and fighting on Monday. We are living epistles. People watch our lives. If you say that you are a believer, if you say that you are a Christian, the unbeliever gonna watch you to see if you are living what you're saying. Amen. I said amen. But now let me move on. So verse 12, I'm still there. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, and we should be able to teach others right and wrong, what God says in His Word. You need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need. You see that? And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Whoa. What is that saying? That is saying that you've been taught. The writer here says, you've been taught. What happened? What happened? We have to understand that I compare us to batteries. If we don't continually be recharged, we leak. We leak. We become weak. That's the reason the Word of God is called our daily bread. That's the reason Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how we are to live. How many of you ate today? Raise your hand. If you had some, raise mine too. Okay. Amen. Now, if you didn't raise your hand, I'm going to assume you fasting. Hallelujah. But he said, because of neglect and possibly laziness, you have come to need to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God. And listen to this. And you have come, see that? To need milk and not solid food. I refuse to be a 20-year-old baby. Spiritually speaking, you understand what I'm saying? Now, if you get saved at 20 spiritually, you are a baby and you can grow. You can get saved at 75, 85, 100. But God has called us to grow. Because if not, then we slip back. That's why some folks backslide. You know, when you're walking with the Lord, you just don't happen overnight. It's a gradual thing. You don't come to church as often, little by little. Don't pray as often, drifting back little by little. Don't spend time with God as often. You drift back little by little because other things are screaming and crying out for your time. Over here, hey, over here, I need you over here. I need your attention over here. Come on over. I need some attention over here. And God's waiting for us to gather with him because he wants to feed us. He wants us to grab our Bibles or grab the Word of God and allow him to energize our spirits and renew our minds. Let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. I won't go to anything in specific, but just in general. Have there ever been something in your personal life, and we ain't dragging up stuff, we certainly ain't going to the graveyard digging up the dead, okay? That ain't what I'm doing. I'm just making a point. But have there ever been a time in your life since you've been saved that your flesh began to tempt you, maybe to return to an area of your life that you used to do? Because let me say this, we live in a body, right? Yeah, the Bible says that our flesh is to be in submission to our spirits. Because if you don't get control of it, it'll do anything. Why? Because it's earthly. See, that's the reason. It's of the earth. So that's the reason one day, as believers, we're going to have a brand new body. And it won't be tempting. It won't be tempted to sin and tempted to crave ungodly things. You're still here. But in the meantime, we're in this body. Amen. And I want to stay in this body until time for me to depart this body. Because while I'm in this body, I can serve God in the earth. Don't you want to serve God? I said, don't you want to serve God? Yes, Adam messed things up for us, but that was the first Adam. The second Adam came, glory to God, and he changed things. But we're still in the flesh, in our physical body right now. Being in our physical body, we have to take control of this thing. We have to take control of it. We have to let it know you're not going to do this, you're not going to say that. Well, you know, they said something terrible to me, so I feel like just cussing them out. No, you're not going to do that. You take control over it. If we do not, then we find ourselves slipping back little by little by little. But that don't have to happen. Paul said he buffeted his body. He keep it under. Lest after he preached to others, he himself become a castaway. In other words, you don't let your body do anything it wants to do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're still with me. So, if we allow that, then we drift back and we have to have milk all over again to build us back up. Are you still here? All righty. Let me read on. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe or a baby, spiritually speaking. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those by reason of what? You're still with me, aren't you? Those by reason of what? Okay, I'm hearing a number of different things. Let me read verse 14 to you again. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. And that's not necessarily physical age. We're talking about spiritual maturity here. You with me? Spiritual maturity. That is, those by reason of use. Use. James told us to be doers of the word of God and not be hearers only. We are to put it to use, what we hear. When we do that, we become full of age. In other words, we mature, we grow spiritually. We grow spiritually. Let me read 14 again. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is, those who by reason of use, guess what? Have their what? Senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that is a big problem in the body of Christ in some areas, because folk now, many of them, not everybody, glory to God, absolutely not everybody, but some have gotten themselves to the place where they don't recognize what's good and what's not. Because so many excuses have been dropped in the pudding. And we begin to think, well, do I go this way? Do I go that way? Well, you know, Deacon such and such, oh, he said it's okay. Reverend such and such, he said it's okay. Doctor whatever said it's okay. What does the Word of God say? Now, if you have your senses exercised, something right on the inside of you going to say, oh, it might sound real good to the ears. You hear me? It might sound real good to the ears, but right down in your spirit, you know something ain't right. Because everything that looks good is not good. Everything that sounds good is not good for us. Hallelujah. Everything that tastes good is not good. But God wants our senses exercised so that we can discern both good and evil. In other words, we can recognize what's good and we can recognize what's evil. I'm not going to turn there. Upstairs, give me Romans 12th chapter in the first verse, please. Romans 12, 1. Hallelujah. Listen what it says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, what? Holy and acceptable to God, which is what? Your reasonable service. In other words, that's not asking too much. Verse 2, please. Now listen, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. And it comes because of a renewed mind, or comes by a renewed mind. It's a mind that has been developed by the Word of God and is now able to discern good and evil, able to discern what God approves of and what He does not. Amen. I want to be in God's perfect will. That's where I want to be. And that's what I'm working towards. I hope you are too. Amen. Are you still with me? We'll go on just a minute or two longer. I'm not going to get finished. So, all right, back at Hebrews chapter 5 now. So verse 14 again, but solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now we won't, I'm not going to have time to get into it tonight, but I just want to get it established. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on. Look at somebody and say, let's go on. Let's go on to perfection. In other words, maturity. Not laying again the foundation. Now, I'm going to stop right there. The foundation must be laid. We understand that, right? Amen. Without a foundation, you're going to fall. You're going to slip. But what he's saying here is, he's not knocking the foundation. He is saying, lay the foundation, get the foundation laid. Now let's build a house. We got the foundation down. Now let's build a house. So he said, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. And this is what I want to talk about, and it'll be later on, not tonight, but the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Give me verse 2, please. Of the doctrine of baptisms, I especially want to talk about that one. Of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Hallelujah. Let's build on the foundation that we have. And I know in this congregation, everybody is not at the same place spiritually. But wherever you are, let's build on that. Let's move. Amen. You might have the house, but go ahead and add another room to it. Glory to God. Because, and I'm closing, the enemy is coming after your foundation, because he knows if your foundation is weak, you can't help anybody else. You listening to me? If your foundation is shaky, you can't help anybody else. God's looking for people that's building a strong foundation. And it doesn't matter what comes down the pipe, we can stand strong, you can stand strong. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory be to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God. May there be hearts yearning